Text line, a number of texts coming in. Just, you know, anytime you talk about farming, there are people that want to share memories, and I love it. So thank you for everyone that is doing that. Also, I got a text about my mom's earrings from someone on the text line. I shared the video. If you haven't seen the video, you can go on the Evan Bray Show Facebook page. I was in the grain truck on Sunday. My mom sits in the truck with me there. We're having a visit. She's a retired school teacher, 36 years as a grade one teacher, and she was wearing chalk brush earrings. So the video is worthwhile throwing on. It's now kind of exploded. Lots of people have viewed the video, and my mom's getting nervous that her hair was windblown in the video. Anyway, thank you for all of the texts that are coming in on the conversation of harvest. Appreciate that very much. Well, this is an important month. September is Suicide Awareness and Prevention Month, both in Saskatchewan and nationally. The month is about helping answer some of those hard questions. We know people who think about suicide often aren't looking to end their life. They're needing help. They need someone to put the hand out and give them some help with some sort of emotional pain that they've got going on. And through my career in policing, I'll tell you, whether it's trying to help someone who has made that plea, that cry for help, maybe sometimes by actually calling to emergency services, dialing 911. Other times it's worried family members. But another part of it is, of course, taking care of the people that we work with. The women and men that do the job in emergency services, that's an important part of this as well. So knowing that September is Suicide Awareness and Prevention Month, I wanted to have someone in studio from SIPCERT. You know this organization. We've had them on a couple of times, the Canadian Institute for Public Safety, Research and Treatment. I'm happy to say today we've got Clinical Operations Manager Shaylee Spencer joining me. Shaylee, thank you so much for being here today.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, it's good to have you here. So why is a month like this so important?
It's important because suicide is a high risk for a lot of people. Mm-hmm. So with SIPCERT PSPNet, we talk about PSP specific, but it's across the board.
And when really you say PSP, your public safety personnel is the acronym. But you're right, though. This permeates all walks of life when we're talking about understanding the risk of suicide. And off air, you and I were chatting about there's a farmer hotline for farmers or people in agriculture. Are we doing a better job? Are we doing a better job of trying to reduce the stigma around mental health and opening up people's minds to being willing to have these types of discussions?
I think so. I mean, education, awareness is important. Validation, understanding that people aren't alone. There's a lot of people that are struggling through this.
Mm-hmm. What specifically is your job? Your title is Clinical Operations Manager with SIPCERT, but what is your job then?
I work alongside a team of clinicians throughout Canada that provide mental health services to first responders.
Okay. And this is for first responders, obviously, across Canada?
Yep.
Yeah. So let's talk a little bit about warning signs. Often, I think sometimes people could see warning signs, whether it's in a colleague, it could be a partner, without necessarily knowing. It's not a one size fits all, but can you talk about the importance of warning signs in this conversation?
Yeah. That is a big question. Warning signs are difficult. It looks different for everybody. Everybody struggles with suicide or suicidal ideation, either chronically over a long period of time, acutely after an experience. Maybe there's grief that's happened. So we try to stay away from just those certain signs and symptoms. It looks different. So for example, we had an officer that ended their life just recently. They looked like the happiest person. Nobody would be able to tell those warning signs wouldn't have been present. So I feel like if we're looking for those specifically, it can misguide us. But maybe shifting the focus and thinking about how am I going to respond appropriately if somebody comes to me and talks to me about these things? Because we do find that people have their own discomfort. Maybe there's a set up way for us to go about it. But if we can be authentic and vulnerable and engage in an appropriately effective way, that would be very helpful.
Let's talk about that. I think that's a brilliant point, Shaylee, is if someone were to disclose to you, and sometimes that's just based on the fact that they feel comfortable talking with you, and in many jobs and will use emergency services. You could be partners in an ambulance. You could be working together in a fire hall, police cars. And again, this goes outside of emergency services. But if you've got that sort of relationship where you feel very comfortable, if someone comes to you with talk of suicide or saying they've been having these thoughts, how should you react? How should you respond to that?
Yeah, how should? It's going to be different every situation, of course. Mm-hmm. But being open, wanting to listen to what's going on, creating a plan, asking a person, checking in with them, is this helpful for you? What more can we do that you would find helpful? Of course, there's sometimes decision fatigue when people are going through that, creating a follow-up plan and making sure that we follow through with that. Oftentimes, we're finding people are only checking in once over a short period of time, but maybe expanding that and creating a plan that way.
I remember I took some training. This is years ago now, but it was basically suicide intervention training, frontline policing training. And I'll never forget the instructor saying, don't beat around the bush when it comes to asking a person, are you thinking of killing yourself?
Mm-hmm.
Like don't soften it. Don't say harm. Don't say destructive. Those, your thoughts, is that good advice?
Yeah, absolutely. We want to have those open and honest conversations. And again, this isn't a rare thing. A lot of people are struggling with this. You'd be surprised.
Right. Sometimes we deal with these situations, obviously, when they reach a crisis. Is part of the work that you're doing trying to normalize these conversations in more of a proactive way, if that's possible?
Absolutely. And building skills throughout life to be able to manage the difficult situations that come up.
And I feel like, Shaylee, that this isn't just specific to public safety personnel. I mean, that's where you work right now. But these conversations, whether they're with family or colleagues, to me, they are without boundaries when it comes to industries or life in general.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So let's talk about community awareness and education and the role that it plays in preventing suicide beyond individual support. Does the fact that you and I are talking about this on the radio help?
I sure hope so.
Yeah. In what way?
To bring out that awareness, to have people know that they're not alone in the struggle, to be able to think about how am I going to respond effectively if somebody comes and talks to me about it.
Let's just for a second, you've got some training, obviously, and some expertise in this. If a colleague were to come to you and say, look, I'm having a tough time, they might disclose some personal problems that are happening in their life or whatever has got them to this desperate point, and they are thinking about ending their life, what would that look like? How would you respond to it? What would your steps be?
I would have that open, honest conversation with them, ask them what they feel like they need for support, get some clarifying information, create supports and build community around them that are going to support them.
Mm-hmm. Are there lots of supports? Is there a lot of access? I mean, obviously through SIPCERT, there are supports there for public safety personnel. On a broader social range, are there lots of supports out there?
Yeah, there are a lot of supports. And I mean, it's important to have those supports because not one size fits all. So going to those places or contacting the people that you feel are going to be best for you.
Right. The Saskatchewan government recently announced the $250,000 suicide prevention grant program aiming to support community-driven initiatives. I'm just wondering about when we have government stepping in and providing these sorts of grants, does that help?
I would think so.
Yeah. SIPCERT, is that government funded? How are you funded?
Yeah, we're both funded, both federally and provincially. We have partnerships throughout Canada.
One of the challenges we often talk about is in some of the larger centers, specifically urban centers, access to resources isn't the problem. How do you at SIPCERT think of that when you're representing emergency services personnel across the country, but some are in much more remote locations?
Yeah. The benefit to what we do is our services are online and we're able to offer support through message or through phone. Also accessing a lot of resources on our website is helpful for people.
What is your website, if you can remind us?
PSPnet.ca.
PSPnet.ca. Good stuff. Shaylee, I appreciate you coming in. This has been a good chat. Thanks again for the work you do, not only on behalf of public safety personnel, but ultimately affecting the wellness of Canadians.
Thank you.
Appreciate having you here. Shaylee Spencer, Canadian Institute for Public Safety Research and Treatment, so otherwise known as SIPCERT. And Shaylee is the Clinical Operations Manager of that organization. And again, you can check them out at PSPnet.ca. You're listening to 980 CJME and 650 CKOM.